Konnichiwa, Mina.
And girls.
Hi.
And I am your host, Ace. In today's episode, we're talking about Dragon Quest Great Adventure of Dai Haven's Disciples, aka Dragon Quest Dai no Daibokun Tachigare Haven no Shido, a movie from 1992.
So much dying in the title. He dies and he dies again, and then he dies for the third time.
Dragon Quest VII Reimagined came out a couple of weeks ago, so I figured it was time to see what was next after we watched Dragon Quest Great Adventure of Dai in November 2024. So, about time.
Just a few podcasts ago, no big deal.
I want to ask, is this Adventure of Dai series still going on? Because I saw there's, I think, a movie from 2020 or something.
There was this series which ran for 46 episodes and got cancelled. They had to rewrite the ending to wrap things up. And it had three movies. Then in 2020, they brought it back and did another show with 100 episodes.
Oh, that's interesting. It's interesting that this has, like, enough following to, like, for them to do another series so long after.
This was animated by Toei Animation, the studio behind our old favorite Dragon Ball Z plan to eradicate the Super Saiyans.
Yay!
As well as Air, the motion picture, which we also covered on this podcast. Dragon Quest Great Adventure of Dai Haven's Disciples currently has an AnyList score of 59%. The first Dragon Quest game, released in 1989, and the 11th, not counting spin-offs, released in 2017. The 12th is currently in development, as it was when we did the first movie. The original game has been re-released on every console generation, but there's no character called Dai in it.
Because he's dead.
No, that's Romeo. He's a dead man.
Well, Dai is a Dai man.
My short synopsis is, Dai can't wait to see his old friend, the princess. But he'll have to. Arthur?
Dai and his squad prepared to go to Pavnica Kingdom to defeat the Demon Lord's army.
And goes?
A group of children is on a quest to save the world while remembering their late powder wig-wearing douche bro teacher crush.
Okay. We open on jewelry and someone in a Mobile Suit Gundam Char Anzabel cosplay telling Dai and Pop that he's certain that they will defeat the Demon Lord Vern. Vian?
Sorry, go on.
In the previous movie, Dai fought the Demon King Hadlar, in case you'd forgotten that. But speaking of, Hadlar beats up the cosplayer, whose name is Arvin. Arvin then wins by blowing them both up.
That was my first moment where I thought, that could be, that's like, with a, like, context changed a bit, that could be really funny, because he talks to them like kind of does this semi-heroic speech and then charges at the guy, and immediately the guy starts beating him. Just play that on a loop while the two kids are looking on. Just a complete failure.
Dai and Pop spring for the Dai and Pop scream for their teacher, and we get the title card. I was curious, so looked this up, and it seems that the first movie was an adaptation of the first three episodes of the anime, and we've now skipped to episode 8 for this explosion scene, and then after the titles, we skip past episode 14.
Oh. Oh no.
I had to double check that we were watching the right thing, and yes, we were. Anyway, after the titles, we return on a horse pulling a cart full of hay, which is filled with Dai, Pop, and their unnamed friend.
And that's a scene that told me that maybe the animators don't get the visual cues of them popping out of a hay or on a cart. It seems like they're stowing away, right? But then the guy at the front turns and like, oh, we're almost there.
Yeah, if you see someone like popping out of hay in the back of a car, it looks like they're stowing away.
And I just, I just imagine recontextualizing it again, that they are talking and then about how they managed to stow away, and then the guy turns and joins the conversation.
I mean, so it's cheaper if you tell the driver you'll sit wherever. Yeah, I guess you can sit in a pile of hay. Why not?
You can sit under the hay.
It's warm and cozy in there anyway.
Pop wishes they'd stayed at a previous town, so the other two have a go at him for not wanting to do their epic quest to kill the Demon Lord. Pop reckons that Dai is just eager to get to Papnica Kingdom, where Princess Leona from the previous movie rules.
Pumpernickel, what?
Papnica. They reach the dock and look for the ship they were told would be waiting for them, and suddenly Timu Cthulhu attacks.
That's a great description. No comment there.
It destroys the docked ships before it's defeated, and the team decides to look for another ship the next day. Later, while they sleep, the still unnamed friend is approached by a snake while she sleeps. In her dream, Avan finally gives her a name, almost 20% into the movie, Mom.
That made me laugh. Hello there, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Ma'am, yes, ma'am. Serious, ma'am.
It's a memory of when Avan was teaching her to heal, literally Bambi. And after that, the snake then goes after Pop, who dreams of attempting to steal from a sleeping Avan. It's in an effort to impress some girls. So, of course, when it goes wrong, he's saved by Avan. Meanwhile, Dai is doing some training, so he doesn't get whatever whammy the snake is handing out. The next day, the trio go to an inn for a drink and are attacked, being blamed for the monster attack. They make an escape and are offered a ship to ride in to their destination. It was hidden in a cove outside of town, so avoided being destroyed. The captain's name is Nelson, and is actually the captain of the ship that they are supposed to have boarded, but construction of the ship had run late.
I like how he's a big old guy in a black trench coat and he's leading three kids into his cellar. That's literally a scene. He closes the door after.
There's three armed children.
All children have arms.
Elsewhere, Demon Lord Vern is impatiently waiting for his four remaining generals to arrive. We never see him again. One of his generals, I assume, mutters to itself that the monster was defeated, but the next creature will be someone familiar to our heroes.
Oh my gosh, I wonder what it will be.
Will it be the Rock?
Dai, Mom, and Pop are guarding at the top of the lighthouse, which stands above the cove, when they see a thick fog heading right towards them and the town. Although, then it appears to have only gone towards the town because in a bit it will go towards the cove. That was a bit confusing. They hurry off to render aid while some random drunk dude gets eaten by a monster. Mam helps a puppy as it's attacked, and the monsters flee when an armored figure comes along to heal the puppy. She recognizes the voice, and he addresses her by name before leaving and saying that they are not enemies, as she calls him Avan.
I question why would he wear, like, an ominous black armor in the first place?
That kind of thing happens in Power Rangers and Super Sentai all the time. Like, a character will, quote-unquote, die and then return in a brand new outfit and not reveal that it's really them until, like, the plot tells them to. Elsewhere, Pop is being almost overrun by monsters, but again they flee when the armored figure arrives. They speak like Avan to him before disappearing.
It's me, I'm back, see you later.
We switch over to Dai, who is also fighting monsters, but they leave, as does the fog. Mam and Pop rejoin Dai, who worries that the enemy has located the ship. As they hurry back to the lighthouse, Mam and Pop say that they have. As they hurry back to the lighthouse, Mam and Pop say that they met Avan, although Dai is suspicious. They manage to beat the fog there somehow, but it coalesces into the armored figure, He activates their pendants, originally given to them by Avan, as if proving that he is who he says he is. But Dai realizes that his one isn't glowing. Dai cuts the helmet off and reveals Avan. Avan explains that he did die, but Demon Lord Vern saved his life. You can't save someone's life if they're already dead. But okay. What's more, Avan has been convinced that Vern's goals are just and agrees that humans should die, but only the ones who use weapons.
Can we specify which weapons? A stick can be a weapon. A broom can be a weapon.
That person's holding
a
knife.
Am I killing a machine? Does that make me a weapon?
Oh my god, look at that woman cutting carrots. Kill her! She has a knife!
Dai doesn't believe it, so Avan decides to explain using swords. The pair blow themselves up, though not as seriously as Avan did at the start. So Avan tells Pop and Mom to kill Dai.
There's no other way. You have to kill your friend. Do it.
Pop is actually about to do it when Mom realizes that Avan simply wouldn't want this conflict. So, quote-unquote, Avan uses his red glowing eyes to activate the pendants and force them to fight Dai. But the pendants are removed, so they don't do anything. So Avan transforms into Phantasmal Mage Verdosa, the Ghost Bishop Zebora's number one subordinate. That's a load of nonsense gibberish. He reveals that he stole their real pendants and summons a rock golem, but like a snake. Not like the one we saw in the last thing. And, you know, somewhere in Japan, an aspiring video game character designer is inspired to create Brock's favorite Pokemon Onix.
Oh no, not like the Brock we saw in the last thing.
Is that being racist, Gus?
Very. I mean, I was going to compare the boss to the first boss from Strider 2, but your reference is more on point.
It flies around a bit while Dai is ineffective, then Verdosa throws the pendants on the ground. Pop attempts to retrieve them and is slapped by the Onix. Mam, having watched this occur, then runs over to get the pendants and is also slapped by the Onix, which hasn't moved from its previous spot.
Hilarious.
I figured that Dai had run over and also get slapped, but no, he thinks that she's dead, so he goes Super Saiyan, you know, like in the last movie. He fights Verdosa on top of the Onix, which destroys the lighthouse, and then grabs Dai. Mam manages to shoot the Onix in the eye, making it drop Dai, who uses one of Avan's techniques to win the day. In the morning, they set sail, heading for Papnica Kingdom, and we get the credits.
While we're at them sailing, I want to talk about the ship that has a holy relic at the front that that water flows through constantly, producing holy water that burns the monsters. And there's just something so wonderfully cynical about that. Like, I stole a holy cross from the church and I put it in my water filter. Now undead can't do shit to me. I'm just producing holy water all the time.
I mean, this is the fastest ship ever made, and it's producing water out the front, which is going to slow it down.
I thought it probably sucks up the water from the sea and spits it out as holy water.
Right, but that's still more water in front of it than there should be, which is going to slow it down. It's going to cause more drag.
But it's holy water. It's magic.
So holy water makes ships faster. Can we get the Pope to bless the Pacific Ocean?
Well, that's a genius idea. Wow.
Is that what happened in Legacy of Kain? That's why vampires can't touch water at all? Because the Pope was like, fuck it, I'm blessing the ocean.
So has this movie made you want to check out Dragon Quest VII Reimagined?
No.
Yeah, it was whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I played the original Dragon Quest VII. I tried to play it a couple of times over the years, and I would just bounced off it. So, no. But what about the movie? Is it a Yata, Nani, or a Baka, Azura?
No! No, just kidding. Okay, wasn't that? It was a nothing burger. I mean, like, it's not something to hate, but I mean, I'm okay with it, I guess.
Goes.
Yeah. Maybe if I watched the series, I would get more out of it, but no.
I put it as a nanny. It was fine. Slow, relies on us caring who this Avan character was without telling us much about them.
I couldn't get over how douchey he looked. He like styled his hair like a powdered wig, but it was his hair. Why would you do that?
And he was dressed like Char Anzabel.
Top 10 ways to get hated in the anime podcast. Have a powdered wig and be dressed like that guy who I forgot the name of.
He's like the most well-known character in Gundam. Philistines. Anyway, does it deserve its annual list score of 58%?
I think it seems like, you know, this might be the first time I actually agree with the annual list score. Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate it. I think I'd be more willing to lean into Yata than Baka. So, you know, 58 is like the middle between Nani and Yata, so sure.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I mean, yeah, it's tough to recommend it unless it adds to the show, which we don't know. The first one didn't. It was just an adaptation of the first three episodes. So,
and this one, you know, 8th episode and then 14th, so...
I mean, it might be 14, 15, 16. I was going strictly by the episode titles, which, you know, Japanese anime titles are descriptive. So this is the one where where Avan kills himself. It's like, oh, okay, so that's episode 8.
Now that you frame it like that, it's like even worse, because he does a kamikaze.
It literally says kamikaze. Avan does a kamikaze or something along those lines. I need to look it up. But yeah, it uses the word kamikaze. Anime! Anyway, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you for joining me, Arturo and Goz.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge. And but yeah, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrim.com. Finding us on social media or listening to the Greencast podcast. Sobradewa. Bye.